Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started.
Well, today we're starting a little bit differently than normal because I got some heavy news. I think you'd known about it for a couple of days, but there was a funeral at Followers this week of a young man who, once he turned 18, refused medical care and died 2 days later.
Yeah, I heard about it on Wednesday.
So you've had a few more days than I have, but not many.
Yeah. Still hard to talk about. I mean, but I think it's an important thing to talk about.
And well, I think it's important because it's, you know, it just has to be horrible to be, you know, to have that. I don't know the person and I'm heartbroken about it.
Yeah.
But to know the young man or to be his parents or grandparents or cousins, I mean, that would just be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the first place that I want to go is just that's really, really sad, and I'm really, really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I am too, and it's hard to even know how to talk about it, but I do remember, I mean, this young man got sick. I don't know how long ago, but I know that the authorities got involved, and they're kind of, however that works, basically forced his parents to take him and get medical care to avoid, you know, other consequences. I don't know all the details because I wasn't there, but I know they were more complying with the authorities than they were seeking medical care. So, but they were complying with authorities until it became the young man's decision at 18 that he could stop this medical care. I believe it was dialysis from what I know, and died a couple of days later. And I just can't imagine what that must have been like for the parents or the grandparents to have to talk about this with him, knowing that the most likely result is going to be his death.
And he would have had to have known that, I would think, and so would his family when the decision was made. And you know, I'm an outsider, and I just have to say, why would anyone do that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of the question that comes to me.
Yeah,
and you know, I know that there's history there, and I know that that's some of the church's doctrine and teaching. But this is a pretty serious consequence, an irreversible consequence.
It is.
And I don't have good words to talk about it, I know.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple of things that we could talk about. We could talk about really what was the only scripture that I ever had anybody answer this with when I said, why don't we seek medical care? Why can we go to get our teeth worked on? Why can we go get our eyes worked on, but we can't go get dialysis, for example? You know, what makes one a faithful thing and one, you know, a lack of faith would be the term they would use. And James 5 would always be kind of where they would go and what they would talk about. And so I think
Can I read that?
Yeah.
I think it starts in a place kind of that feels kind of close to home right here, because it says, is anyone among you suffering?
Mm-hmm.
Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Mm. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that would be the scripture they would use. And I want to just start with one question and maybe get your thoughts on it, and that is, it specifically says to call on the elders of the church there. Would you take that to mean people who held the office of elder? How would you take that to?
Yes, I understand that to be people okay. who have the office of elder in the local church.
Okay. So what if you don't have anyone in the office of elder in your church?
My next take, I suppose it's a take, would be that you can't apply this verse.
Mm.
Okay. I think you can pray for the person, no question.
Right.
I think you can confess your sins, it says.
Yeah.
To one another. And I think you can do that. And you can pray for one another that you may be healed. So I think you can pray for one another.
Sure.
But I don't think you can, you know, have the assurance of this verse if it isn't something that you're calling the elders to do.
Yeah, and the reason I brought that up is that that's been debated out there for years because we don't have elders, so now what? And I just think in my head, I reverse engineer things a lot of times, and I think that if you reverse engineer things with the Bible, and if you already have, I'm saying it's not a good idea to do, but mm-hmm. if you already have the end in mind, and the end for followers being we don't go to the doctor, if you already start with the end being we don't go to the doctor, then we have to figure out how we can still use this verse, because it's really the only one that stops us from going to the doctor. But we don't have elders to call either.
There's that. I mean, there are some, I shouldn't say I think it, but I mean, I think it is a very reasonable understanding of this verse to say that the anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord mm-hmm. is, I mean, what medicine did they have back then?
Right.
The precious little.
Right.
And basically, you didn't want the medicine right. that they used to do back in the day. Those right. were not the good old days.
Right.
You did not want that. And, you know, some of the best medicine they had was to anoint with oil.
Sure.
And so there are some who would suggest that this is actually rather than a call not to use medical mm-hmm. Intervention, it's a call to pray and use medical intervention.
Right.
And I don't expect necessarily people listening to this to agree with me.
Yeah.
But I want you to consider that yeah. what if that is an option? Yeah. What if that is what this means?
Yeah.
Rather than the fact that it can't because I've decided ahead of time it can't.
Right.
You know, but the rest of it, the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick and the Lord will raise him up. And
Before we go to the next point, but can I bring up another scripture that I think I want to get your take on? And that is when, I don't have the chapter and verse, but Paul tells Timothy, I believe, to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Do you know the mm-hmm. verse? Okay. Would you say that is a similar thing? Like, would that be for medical purposes? Would that be an assist in with medicine? Or
I have to think that whatever symptom Timothy had, mm-hmm. that the wine was going to be helpful in alleviating the symptom.
Right.
Now, I suppose, you know, you may call it medicine. Most people probably wouldn't call it medicine.
Sure.
But the reality is the effect of what he was doing was medicinal.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, I think you could say that.
Yeah. And that's the reason I brought that up is because that's really been my whole life is the things that we didn't call it medicine, but it was olive oil and wine. Those were the thing. And it was very common to have a little drink of wine before you go to bed for your stomach's sake. And, it was really used like medicine.
Well, I mean, the reality is it was state of the art.
Right.
There wasn't much going.
Times, right.
There wasn't yeah. much going for medicine. It does tell us that Luke, the one who wrote yeah. the gospel and wrote the book of Acts was a physician. Yeah. Now, I don't know what he would do besides oil and wine, but whatever it was, he, as a medical professional, I suppose you could say, a physician, he was not only a follower of Jesus and the accompanying the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an author of Scripture.
Yeah.
And, you know, somehow he practiced medicine. I don't know what that even looked like.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I guess I want to, on a note that we started this with and how sad this makes me, I want to just appeal to anybody who would be willing to have a second thought to say, you know, the Bible allows at least for medical intervention.
Yeah.
And it is, you don't have to refuse it, on at least on the grounds of the Bible. And I don't think you have to refuse it on the grounds of the fact that somehow Jesus would be displeased with you.
Right.
Because, and I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying pray and. Pray and.
Yeah.
By all means. But this is a, it just makes me so sad that I don't have much else to say, I guess.
Yeah.
Except to say, what if it is okay, even in this verse? Yeah. What if it is okay, even as a physician has written the Bible that you hold, you know, in your, on your lap or on your end table or whatever?
Yeah. And I've brought up before that I just cannot understand a way where it would not be okay to go to a physician if Jesus says it's the sick who are in need of a physician, not those who are well. You know, I don't know how you would even bring that up if it was something you couldn't do. But I think there's another side of this that's really bothered me this week, and it connects to what we talked about last week a little bit, the documents that have been collected by people at followers, and I was looking through those again and found someone's notes from one of the last sermons that was they wouldn't have said preached, but you know what I mean, the last Bible teaching from the pulpit out there, or one of the last ones. And this person's notes was talking about the elder who was teaching called, he referred to the church, to the followers of Christ church, as the ark of safety, that that you don't want to get out of the ark or you may drown, clearly referring to Noah and the flood. And that just really bothered me, because I think that the ark, that Noah's ark, points to Jesus, not to any one church, and I think that that believing that your church is the ark of safety, I think, can give you a false sense of security. I know it did me for years. It gave me a false sense of security, and it also added the pressure of, I've got to do things this certain way. I've got to go by the traditions of this church, because if I leave, that means hell for me. If I'm outside of these walls when Jesus comes back, that means hell for me. And so it does tend to work on people to get them to do whatever they have to do to stay inside those walls, to believe whatever they are told to believe, and to make decisions that maybe you just normally wouldn't if you weren't afraid of being outside of that ark.
Well, in the scripture makes it clear that Jesus is the ark of safety.
Yeah.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, for Christ, so this is it. It's not a church. Yeah. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. And what he has in mind there is that it is Christ suffering for your sin to bring you to God, just like the ark would bring you through the flood, brought Noah through the flood. Christ will bring you through the flood of God's judgment,
right,
and will present you safely before God. And so, yes, I would agree that I think it's problematic to say that anything apart from Jesus is an ark of safety. I mean, I don't think there's any way to say that, you know, tithing or going to church or, you know, pick any good work you want to do, anything.
Yeah.
You don't just swim through the flood of judgment. I mean, nobody swam through it. The ark was provided for them, and the ark tells us, for Christ suffered once for sins.
Yeah.
Christ was the ark, and Christ is the one who saves. And so, yeah, I would hope that would be, the people would turn to Christ and not try and do it by keeping some rule or staying in the church necessarily.
Well, and just I'm just thinking about, that feeling of having to, you know, these conversations, I'm kind of back and forth with this, but the need to stay inside the ark and to do this a certain way led this family this week to what must have been horrible conversations.
Heartbreaking
just
conversations.
Heartbreaking things that, you know, I would love to see them get freedom in Christ. I would love to get them to see that someone has already done the work for you, and you don't have to do the hard thing. Salvation feels like it's a high bar, and if it's on you to achieve it, what can you do? But you feel like you've got to do all these hard things, and I guarantee you that you start to think, the harder thing I do, the better chance I have of salvation. And this is just the way it's a terrible way to live.
Well,
in my experience.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, people who would say that, I don't know if they'd say it exactly the same way you did.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't.
but they're not the first ones.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the New Testament speaks to this. And, you know, Galatians chapter 5 says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm there and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery.
Yes.
You don't have to be a slave to, you know, rules or doctrines that were handed down from previous generations.
Yeah.
You know, Christ, the ark of safety, has also been the liberator, the one who sets you free, so that you don't have to, you know, go back.
Yeah.
And you don't have to accept this. And he says, he's talking about circumcision, which was a Jewish rule, of course.
Right.
But that if that's your thing, you got to keep everything. The person who accepts circumcision is obligated to keep the whole law.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just you have to endure just a heart-wrenching situation, but then you have the weight of everything on you.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
And at the end of it still won't work. Like I'm so glad you brought up Galatians, because if people at Followers were listening or in another church that thinks they're the one right church, I don't think there would be anything better for people at Followers to do than study the book of Galatians. If they could just read that and talk about it with each other and pray about it and ask God for wisdom on what this means, if you could understand, when I when I was at Followers, so I'm talking about my experience only, when I was at Followers, I was guilty of exactly what the Galatian church was guilty of. And I know a lot of people are, but I wanted to have Jesus. This is even after I really started thinking about Jesus, but I wanted to have Jesus and still have my traditions because
that's where the security was.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where the security was. And it's also, and this ties back to the Ark of Safety, it's where the false sense of security was. That false sense of security that not only do I love Jesus, but I do it better than these other people who say they love Jesus because I also fill in the blank. Don't go to the doctor. I also go to the right church.
I mean, again, it isn't about, you know, the Followers church. It's not about the Galatian church. It's about the human, you know, tendency to try and do it on our own.
Yeah.
I mean, Colossians. So there's another church, right? Mm-hmm. Colossians. If with Christ you died to the elemental principles of the world, why then, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to all the things that perish when they're used, according to human precepts and teachings. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's the severity that makes it seem better. But then the last part of the verse says, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of flesh.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I probably need to say, I mean, I suppose people who listen very long know that I'm a pastor. You know, I'm not trying to get somebody to come to my church. Right. I don't think my church is safer than any other church.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get people to find their safety in Christ. I'm trying to encourage people to find their freedom in Christ, and they can go to whatever church will help them do that.
Yeah.
And I would be delighted if they would go to a different church and find freedom in Christ and find safety in Christ. And so it isn't that I'm trying to say, oh, you know, my thing's better than the thing you've got.
Yeah.
My thing's not a thing.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I'm not trying any of that. I just would really, I want there to be a better and safer and more certain hope than what you can produce on your own.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm hoping for. And that's, you know, I'm really sad that this has given us the opportunity to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to miss it either because a serious situation like this is, I hope, something that will help people reevaluate or at least ask questions to say, what if there is freedom to do this? What if there is, you know, a better hope than the one we have? What if?
Yeah.
And if you're just asking the what if question, I think it would be, you know, I'd be happy if you'd ask what if, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. And I think it's important probably to say too that we're not, we're talking about this young man who's made this decision. We're not talking about this with any sort of judgment
or
toward him or condemnation or the family or anything like that. I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus with him. I hope that his faith and trust was in Jesus alone for his salvation. And, but it, these kinds of things, a lot of times, if your focus, the people who survive this young man, this can all a lot of times be something that now anchors them to a place even harder or even stronger. And I just want them to know that there can be freedom from that too. That making a decision to give something else a second thought. Does not mean you're abandoning.
It doesn't mean you dishonor him.
No, not in any way.
Anything like that, no.
Yeah, so I just know I've talked to people who feel that way, whether it's about a child or even their father or mother or, you know, ancestors who came to this church originally, and they feel like, well, I'm making some kind of judgment on them if I don't just stay the course. And I just think that's worth
I'm glad you said it. And I don't intend any dishonor to anybody.
No.
And certainly I just, again, hopefully this is our 99th episode.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully people will at least believe that we kind of say the same thing every time.
Right.
That we really do hope that Christ alone is your hope and your salvation.
Yeah.
And that really finding your safety there, finding your freedom in Christ is really what we're hoping will happen. And the other things that would tether you to less hope, that mm-hmm. would tether you to more severity, I suppose, and less freedom. I just would hope that you can be free from those things to, you know, at least pursue Christ.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's great. And we've used this song on here before, but we would sing the hymn, Blessed Assurance, and that's what we want to have. We want people to have is a blessed assurance in Christ. And it says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And it repeats, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. And perfect submission, all is at rest, I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. And that's really what we're wanting for people, is to find that blessed assurance in Jesus and not in the church that they attend.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.